of the argument in on that day. What I said in my first speech was that I could prove that that day, Zechariah 13 is referring to a 24-hour time period. The way that I could prove it was the fact that they pierced me, the mouth of sin was open, and it hands were wounded on a 24-hour day, the day that he was crucified. That's how I prove that that day in Zechariah 13 can refer to a 24-hour period of time. That said, that we are not in that time period of Christ's first coming. That would only make sense, if my argumentation on this would only make sense, if that day referred to a 24-hour period of time. What I'd like to know, and he doesn't have time to respond to this, what I'd like to know is, was the day of Pentecost, was Peter, was Paul, did they live during the time period of Christ's first coming? And I should have brought the answers to my questions from our last debate, because I asked the question about when the time period of Christ's first coming began and when did it end. Since I don't have it here to offer proof, I won't give you a half answer on that. But friends, you know and I know when that time period began and ended. The time period of Christ's first coming began at his birth. The time period of Christ's first coming ended at the ascension. The New Testament church was never during the first period of Christ's coming, or during the time period of Christ's first coming. The New Testament church is the time period between Christ's two comings. Last days. And Paul told me that I need to cross the argument on the 24-hour time period, and Paul, and he doesn't have to prove that Paul was a false prophet. That's not the argumentation I use to give the illustration of Paul being a false prophet. That is saying that true prophets would pass out of the wind in that day being a time period, and he says that that time period is the time period of Christ's first coming. We know when that time period ended. It ended at the ascension. Now, if the true prophets speak in this time period, doesn't mean that after this time period, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, there were no true prophets. The argument is not based upon saying that that day is a 24-hour day or period of time. That argument is based on your argument that that day refers to the time period of Christ's first coming. If it's the time period of Christ's first coming, it still can't be referred to true prophets, because there were true prophets after that time period. Now, that says that the context of Zechariah chapter 13, verse 3 and 4 shows that true prophets would pass away, but false prophets would continue. Zechariah 13, 2 says, it shall come to pass in that day, say before the post, I will cut off the ends of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, that his father and his mother that begat him shall say to him, thou shalt not live without thee speaking fire in the name of the Lord. What is it in that passage that would tell you that that's not the same prophet being referred to in verse 2? I contend, and I don't believe, and this is being misunderstood me on what I believe pass out of the land means. I thought I made a very cute illustration about St. Patrick making the rats pass out of the land. What do you mean rats cease? Passing out of the land is one thing, ceasing of another. This is what we're talking about, the land of Jerusalem here. People call the prophets to pass out of the land. What does it mean to call the prophets to cease? Like 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about the prophets going to cease. I said in the very first speech, I don't believe the similarity between Zechariah and 1 Corinthians, except for both of them on the 13th chapter of those books. So here's the main argument, Pat, the main response to what you're saying about this. Even if it is the time period of Christ coming, and what you're saying is that prophets are going to pass out of the land, you say that means they're going to cease, it still could happen during the time period of Christ's first coming. It can't be true prophets. Because we have true prophets in the New Testament church. And I don't believe that what it means is that false prophets cease from being in the land. I think it means exactly what it said. They pass from the land. I don't think it means that they cease because there are no false prophets today. But there's plenty of false prophets today. I think what it says that he will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land is exactly what it means. Land to talk about the land of Jerusalem. So, friends, it can't mean that they cease from unclean spirits in our spirit of Antichrist going around today. Hands of the idol. We cut off the hands of the idol. Now, become more idols than they sure are. And that's not talking about idols and prophets and other things spiritual kind of disappear and there's not anything ever after that. It's like I'm fascinated with that. What land? So why did I say that cease meant, why did I say that pass out of land meant that they would cease, and that when the false prophets pass out of land, that meant false prophets would be seen. Or back to the illustration of St. Patrick's name, the St. Patrick prayed the rat, pass out of the land. Didn't even the rat see it from men. Then Thatcher added it again and said, when I put up the comments here of James Burke Kaufman, and he said, all brothers will not accept commentary as proof. But they expect us to accept the commentary of his brother's proof. They're saying that when his brother said that the word pseudo should not have been in there with prophet in the Greek translation, that's your brother's commentary, whether it agrees with your position or not. You know, I quoted a man that's not even of the same religious belief as me. I quoted one of your scholars, James Burke Kaufman. You want us to accept the commentaries? You read my Jimmy Thayer's, you know how that's their commentary. You want us to accept that? You want to accept the commentary of your brother? But then you're going to tell us, our brother won't accept that. My favorite person, Paul, would accept. He would accept the false doctrine. You're teaching about the prophet. In Zechariah chapter 13, he says we must present the information to associate the true prophet of God with the cutting off here. He believed the same way I did about this. He said, what he's saying here, through the commentary of time, that's what he said, well, people's prophecies would be cut away, but that's definitely not his deal here. Why? Because all the prophets of the new dispensation, along with the apostles, would lay the foundation of Christ of the church of the new covenant. If what God is saying about Zechariah 13 is true, then before the day of Pentecost ever came, because the time of Pentecost is coming, in as his vision, before the day of Pentecost ever came, there were no true prophets. So they all passed out. They all passed out of the land and ceased in the time period of Christ's first coming. And they were no true prophets in the church today. This chart back up about the part in contrast with the whole. He said it doesn't even have to be the same apple. It doesn't even have to be the same piece of pie, okay? It doesn't even have to be the same body, Pat. That's just a piece of the body. We got a totally different body over here. But you know what? This whole complete body, it's still made up of the individual pieces. You can have a Ford, you can have a Chevy. You can have two totally different engines. They're totally different motors. Each of them are made up of carburetors, fans, fuel injectors, water pumps, all of that. We complete whole body, the complete whole motor, all of those individual parts, they don't vanish away and cease. They're not going away. That's what Paul's saying here. See, what Paul is saying that when the perfect is come, that which is important is going to be gone away. When you got a complete body, no matter if it's my body, or Redbar's body, or Johnson's body, or nobody's body, our individual parts aren't going away. They're still there. So, Pat's argumentation about the parts being in contrast with the whole, and that the whole has to be made up of the parts, individual pieces, and parts of revelation, and the complete full revelation is false. Because that full complete revelation is still made up of the individual pieces and parts of revelation. For the whole body is made up of the individual pieces and parts of the part of the body. Any brought up?
Right,
but what he's saying, that the tongues of the prophecy was the angel of which God revealed the New Testament law. I put this chart up here. Come into Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Tongues did not reveal the New Testament law. He said, what did it reveal? That's the question you've got to answer. You believe that tongues did reveal the New Testament law. What New Testament law was revealed in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4? You want me to tell you what tongues revealed in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2 and 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues that the Spirit gave them utterance. Over there in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know the gift of the Holy Ghost? Was poured out on the Gentiles. Next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues. They revealed the New Testament law. The preachers revealed the New Testament law. They didn't speak in tongues. And the people out the street hear them speaking in tongues and go, oh my God, we got to be baptized in Jesus' name now. Now, what was it then? They could have run across and said, keep down their tongues, and that's what they wanted. It wasn't until the apostolic preaching came in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that they found out the New Testament law, that you got to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, tongues didn't reveal New Testament law. When they spoke in tongues, the house of Cornelia, they didn't reveal to the house of Cornelia, the man, we got to be baptized for the remission of sin. That's not what revealed that to them. It'll be after preaching that revealed it. And Peter said, and whosoever believeth through his name, they shall receive remission of sin. And then he commanded them to be baptized with him before. 1 Corinthians 12:8. How closely enough did reveal the New Testament truth in the Corinthian church? It was apostolic preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21. God chose the voices of preaching to save them that will believe. Where do we get this New Testament law to be preached? They get it from tongues and prophecy and all of the miracles. No, they have their purpose. They have their purpose, but their purpose is not to reveal the New Testament truth. Where did the New Testament truth come from? How can we expect when you break for a great salvation that the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The New Testament truth was spoken by the Lord to those that heard him. The New Testament law we preach, and the New Testament law the apostles preach. The New Testament law the apostles preach, and the New Testament law they got from someone speaking in tongues? No. The New Testament law they got from someone prophesying? No. The New Testament law they preach, and the New Testament law they heard spoken by the Lord. But that is the word provided. It went to John, the word meant, or use the word meant spoken there. Now, I didn't give the full definition of every meaning of the word abide as given by Peter. The word can mean to abide in a place, or it can be referenced to time. What I did do was give the reference here to what Peter defined it as used in 1 Corinthians 13:13. To continue to be not prepared for wrath, to endure things not prepared for sin, the last to stand of purpose, or of excellence. And it can be used in reference to a motive place. Or it can also be used to reference to time, to continue to be. God prepares. That's how Peter says the word is used in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, he talks about the question of the hope of your salvation, and once you have that hope, it's revealed. Once you're saved, you don't have to be hoping that you're saved. But there are various uses of the word hope, just like there are various uses of the word faith. There's one faith, which faith is a doctrine, though. He is the God of hope. 21. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Because of this charity, there's going to be hope. Charity's never going to fail. Because of this charity, there's going to be hope. Because of this hope, there's going to be faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We're simply pleasing God when we can have it or not. God is reasons why that which is perfect cannot refer to the completed mouth. Number 1, 1 Corinthians 13:10. Faith. But that which is perfect is come. They were looking and living in expectation of that which is perfect to come. They were planted in an expectation for the completed scriptures. And for them to ever be a time period when the scriptures will be finished right. No one had that truth until the Apostle John was told to fill up the book. So the word come is used 125 times of Christ. Never of a completed book. Christians are looking for Jesus to come, and we're waiting around for a completed Bible to come. Paul is taking these verses, 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now I know in part, but then when the perfect comes, shall I know, even as I am known. Paul is taken to be there. When the perfect comes and the gifts cease, Paul is taken to be there. Paul dies when he is the fully invisible complete. 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul said, then we're going to see face to face. Not face to book. Faith will not see us face to face today. When are we going to see face to face? Paul said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Then shall I know ye and have hope. I am known. There is an issue of 1 or 3 grammar. Paul is obviously contrasting knowledge now and knowledge after of that which is perfect itself. He said, when the perfect comes, then shall I know, even as also I am known. Known by who? Because he knows my man. I know more about himself than I do. I know more about myself than any of y'all do. Paul knows more about himself than any other man. The obvious reference here is that he's going to have a knowledge like God knows him. Then shall I know, even as also I am known. There is an issue of 103, Romans 2:53. 1 Corinthians 13:12, the latter undoubtedly refers to the knowledge of God, and all that has correctly been established. There we shall know perfectly as God knows us. That is so obvious from the passage, the Amplified Bible translated the same thing. Then shall I know, even as also I have known by God. Complete scriptures don't make the gift speak. How do we know that? Because James had a complete, perfect full of liberty, James 1:25. But the spiritual gift is not yet seen, because it said in James 5:14, the big calls the end of the church, the lay hands on, the prayer of faith will take the sick. Number 6, Acts 20:27, Paul gave all the counsel of God, therefore he didn't have a partial revelation of the New Testament of Paul. So the final contrast between partial revelation and complete full revelation. Number 7, the word revelation is perfect in Greek, it's hotelion. Joseph Henry Thayer, who Dr. Downey Wood, the Church of Christ scholar, this was the most authoritative Greek scholar in the world. Page 618 defines the word that which is perfect as the perfect state of all things to be ushered in by the return of Christ from heaven. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8 says, so that you come behind in no gift, or here's charisma, not my spiritual gift. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for what? Waiting for the completed Bible of God? No! Waiting for what? Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm him unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, number 9, in Revelation 10:11, the angel told John that he must prophesy again. Revelation 11:3, he said he's going to give power to the witnesses, and they shall prophesy, showing that the book of Revelation was complete. Prophecy was going to continue to go on. That which is perfect can't refer to the complete word of God, because prophecy was going to keep going on after the book of Revelation was complete. Thank you.